Welcome to the Skies We're Under podcast, hosted by me, Rachel Wright. This podcast is created by and for parents of people with disabilities and the many practitioners who support us. It's just for all of us who are trying to get from one end of the week to the other whilst bridging the gap between the life we expected and the one we're actually living. Hi, I'm Rachel, founder and director of Born at the Right Time, a qualified nurse and the mum of a young man who loves music, swimming, has complex disabilities and an unusual addiction to the game show Pointless. I wrote the memoir, The Skies I'm Under, and I'm thrilled you've joined us for another episode of The Skies We're Under podcast. Today, I talked to my regular co-hosts, Sarah Clayton and Lucy Parr. Sarah is the CEO of Simple Stuff Works. She's a mum of four, the parent to a young woman who is a survivor of brain tumour, living with medical complexities and learning disabilities. Lucy is an assistant educational psychologist, the parent of four, one of whom is a whirlwind of a young man with a genetic condition, which means he has complex neurodisabilities. Today, well, we talk plungers, shit life balance, and the trickiness which is families and friends who want to be supportive. We've got very few answers, as is common on the Skies We're Under podcast, I'm afraid, but we do have lots of thoughts and Me Too moments and, well, welcome to a place where we can connect with each other and feel a little less alone and a little more understood. Hello and welcome to Season 3, Episode 7 of the Skies We're Under podcast. And for your delight today, we have the wonderful Sarah Clayton and Lucy Parr. Welcome, ladies, to the Skies We're Under.
Welcome. Good morning.
Hello.
I sounded like I was some Radio 4 presenter.
You sounded like a porn presenter just right then, to be honest.
What kind of, you're watching very high-class porn.
Yeah, the late night shows on the radio that aren't porn but clearly are porn. Like that stuff.
I haven't listened to any of them.
We'll do a link in the show notes.
To Lucy's highly recommended.
Precisely.
Oh, dear ladies, have a look at my lovely plant.
What is it?
It's a peace lily in a lovely pot. Just behind me.
Is it seriously a peace lily? I thought it was like a
spider plant.
I thought it was
a weeping willow.
But you know, like those cactusy type things that people have that look dead, but they assure you that they are absolutely fine. And you're like, well, it looks shit.
No, it's a piece of me that has obviously fallen off the end of my to-do list because my life does not reflect said piece.
You got a plastic one like mine.
Oh, yeah.
There you go, look behind there. Always looks like that.
There's no watering.
Just the odd dust.
How are you, ladies? Tell me what skies you're currently living under at the minute.
Well, I am not looking for a house.
Oh.
You know, having decided that we're going to sell the house. There we are. And I'm trying really hard not to look for houses because I'm getting myself into that mad headspace where I see houses that I like, but I can't have said house because I haven't sold my house. So I go to bed at night and I close my eyes. I fall asleep and let my Kindle fall onto my face, which is how I fall asleep. And then I, as soon as I put the Kindle down, my eyes ping wide open and I think of the houses I can't have. And I'm sure, you know, and you're like, oh God, how long am I going to do this for? So ours doesn't go on for another 2 weeks because all the stuff we need to sort out.
Are you doing the decluttering, making sure your house is beautiful from the curb? What's it called? Yeah, all that stuff.
I can't really do much about that because our house is right on the road. Ours is like hugging the curb. So there's not a lot I can do with that, but I've got a list of things that require doing before the 19th, which is when the photographs are taken.
That is proper adulting, that is.
So
that is. I still rent.
Trying.
So I've not had to do that before. So I don't envy you.
No, we might end up in rented. Who knows? Because I don't want to get somewhere that I don't want. That's privileged position to be in, isn't it? But there we go. How are you, Luz?
Yeah, I'm okay. Just, you know, normal shit.
This is, so we've decided, Sarah and I, in the last couple of weeks, that she answers with, I'm fine.
I'm fine.
Fine. And your answer generally is, yeah. Yeah. It's shit.
And I don't want to be like that person that's always like, oh, it's shit. But also keeping it real. Do you know what I mean? There's a fine balance. And also, yeah, it is quite shit. So there is, yeah.
I love the trying to find a shit balance.
So
trying to balance.
So
the shit.
It's all right. There's no place for Brecon to go still in terms of placement, even though the local authority have consulted with about 35 places nationally at this point. So yeah, everyone's saying no, he's too tricky, blah, blah, blah. And then we are gearing up for round two of a brain surgery, because the previous round one of the brain surgery, they didn't quite manage to do it quite all right. So I was slightly pissed off about that, because obviously now he has to go in for a second round of the same surgery, which is quite a major surgery, but it is what it is.
It is what it is.
And so we're gearing up for that in the middle of March. So yeah, just plodding on, really. Plodding on.
Yeah, so we're recording this at the beginning of March, because it won't be released for a few weeks. But such big, tricky stuff, isn't it? House moving.
Yeah, what gets me is that the big, tricky stuff becomes normal. Like, for everybody, mm-hmm. for a lot of other people, the big, like a house move or a brain surgery or whatever is like big shit, right? Mm. And then I'm just like, yeah, another week, another brain surgery, another week, another admission to hospital, another, you know, and I know there's lots of people listening who that is their reality as well. So totally hear you, shout out to you, all those people. But there are also people who, you know, one of our things would be the main event of their entire life, and it's like one of a weekly sort of situation. So yeah,
when you talk to friends and they go, I'm like, so how are you? We've only been in ITU once in the last 6 months. Mm-hmm. You're like, yay, that's amazing. And you're thinking, what kind of friends do I keep? Yeah, I've only been admitted 6 times this winter. Awesome. Yeah. Skills. Mm-hmm.
Mm, exactly.
Do you think that people, as well as we get used to that heightened stress level, do you think that other people get used to us?
Whose phone? It's not me. It's Rachel.
Oh my God, that's not
Rachel.
Me. It's only the host.
We were all holding our breath at that point, going, shit,
right,
we're going to be in trouble.
Here it is. Yeah. Hi, Mum. I'm just recording a podcast. Do you want to say hello?
Hello.
All right, love you. See you. Bye.
Bye. Oh, that's your mummy.
So yeah, the youngest has had temperatures of 40 all weekend. So I've sent to school. Oh. No, he was fine yesterday afternoon, evening, and wanted to go to school. So I was like, okay, but as long as if you tell the teacher if you're not feeling well, you come home. It's like, yes, I will. I want to see my friends.
Oh, I'm so sick of you.
So he looked all right, but I don't know whether he'll. He'll think he's all right and then halfway through the morning go, oh, actually, I don't feel very well.
Yeah. Bless him.
Sorry to interrupt your flow of conversation, Sarah. You were saying, do you think?
No, I was just saying, do you think that as well as us getting used to heightened stress levels and the craziness, do you think that also the people around us also get used to us experiencing heightened stress levels and craziness, which means that I don't know. I think that with BE seizures sometimes, it's almost people don't recognise that it's like the first time every time. It's not like the first time every time.
But it's that like visceral reaction to it, the visceral like, oh shit,
yes.
Like, where's this going to end?
Yeah.
Because we have that with, Brecon seizures.
Like, and it's like a, I don't know, for people, I think maybe that's why we kind of seek out people who know what it feels like, because there is that kind of disconnect sometimes with our friends who don't know what that feels like.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Yeah, maybe. And is all the other life stuff still happening? Like the fiascos are still going on, mm-hmm. you know, the things are still breaking.
Yeah.
I had a joyous moment a couple of weeks ago. You know, when you just want to go into the house, you're like, you're rushed. You're like, and you're like, I just got to rush in here. I'd been to the gym, rushing out. I was doing a quick turnaround to go out to the gym. I'd been out doing something, thought I'll go in, I'll quickly tidy the kitchen so that husband comes in and is like, oh, it's cool, you'll go off to the gym for an hour.
I'm married to such an amazing incredible woman.
She thinks of everything, except was quickly tidying things away in the kitchen and noticed the sink was blocked. So I got the plunger out and started plungering the sink. And then my feet started getting wet.
Oh, dear.
Because I had managed to, there's like one of the junctures in the plumbing under the sink's just like a bung, and I'd managed to pop the bung. And so all the contents of the, yeah, exactly. I called my middle son. I was like, quick, come here, I need your hat. Because I'm like holding this plunger then, this hole. And he's like literally walking around behind me with like, get some towels, get some things. And he's literally walking going, whoop. Like, can you because I couldn't ask him to hold the plungery bit, like the bit that's spewing.
Well, no, he'd vomit.
He's literally walking in and out going, whoa! I'm like, oh, come on. It did stink though. It seriously did stink. So this smelly black food filled water was dripping over my feet on the kitchen floor.
That was nasty.
There was towels everywhere. So then, so I managed to get a bucket sort of underneath and get the remainder of the water. Some of it went under the units, blah, blah, blah. And then I sent the retching 16-year-old out because he wasn't making anything useful happen whatsoever. And then after all the, so I'm like, I then become Bob the Builder and I start dismantling the all the stuff under the sink, and I don't know how to put it back again.
I love
so
that.
I take it all apart. This stuff that was inside it. There was one bit that was like concrete that had obviously just solidified.
We had our dishwasher broke, and it was broken for about 18 months because every single time that I said I'm going to get somebody to fix the dishwasher, Steve the man was kind of offended by that, and the caveman in him wanted to fix the dishwasher himself. So he got involved in the back of it at one point and like squeezed the tube. And I thought it was a dead mouse that had come out of the, and it was like a 4-inch long fatberg came out.
I hope he was eating their breakfast.
I honestly thought it was a dead, I genuinely thought it was a dead creature. Anyway, I paid a fortune for somebody to come out and fix it. They said that you've got to pull it away from the wall because it's one of these integral things, so you have to have it out. He arrived, nothing wrong with it. So the act of moving it out.
Magic. It's like the magic
just made
off and
it magically
again.
Better.
Yeah. Yeah,
it was.
Oh, that's disgusting. Oh, sorry,
wow. I had to FaceTime a man that knows, and he helped me put the sink back together again.
That's good. That's good. I also like to try things that I have no idea what I'm doing. And talking about plungers, I tried to unblock the bath a while back, entirely in the spirit of I will do this. I will fix it. Of course, I can fix
Feminism.
It. I know exactly what I'm doing.
We know what to do.
Having zero idea what I'm doing whatsoever. So I start plunging. Literally, never picked up a plunger in my life. Just thought, I've seen people plunge at the plug hole. The end. Right. So off I go, plunging at the plug hole. About 2 minutes later, the whole house shorts. And
shorts? Why is your water anywhere near the electricity?
So I've broken something in the bath and it was raining in the kitchen. There was water everywhere, all over the kitchen.
Oh, you knocked off the electrics.
Yeah. So I did a proper job.
One of your bung bits underneath the bath or something.
Yeah,
that
very
popped.
Bad. Yeah, very bad. Water everywhere.
I've just remembered a brilliant one from when one of my children, and I'm not going to say who, all right, so one of my children, I went into their primary school to drop something off or do something or other, and the head teacher was standing behind the reception lady, and she said, "Ah, Mrs. Clayson, I have to tell you that one of my children, so-and-so, blocked our toilets today with an enormous defecation."
They said defecation. They didn't even say poo.
Well, I was like, oh.
So they're going to get a certificate.
I'd gone in
assembly.
I'd gone in for like It wasn't a poo visit. So she'd like randomly put this into the conversation. And I was like, oh, because I didn't know what to do with the information. So I said,
congratulations. Do you want me to help? I said,
she said it blocked the toilet. And I was like, do you want me to come and unblock it? Because I thought that that's why she's telling me.
We've left it for you.
She said, no, I've unblocked it. And I said, and so then when we sort of stood and looked at each other, and I just said, I don't really know what to do now. And she said, I'm not sure why you're telling me. She said, well, I'm telling you just in case he has any pain later, because it was enormous.
You thought it was like a health and safety announcement on the plumbing of the school, but actually it was a health and welfare issue.
It was a health and welfare.
And worried that his guts are going to come out of his arsehole. Yeah,
exactly.
Or her.
Exactly.
Arsehole.
So I was like, or her. So I was like, I'm going to go now. And she said, right, okay. Awful.
Oh, that is bad. That is really bad.
Born at the Right Time's vision is to create a world where families of people with complex disabilities are valued and supported. We put the lived experience of families at the heart of our work to support parent carers, deliver CPD certified training to practitioners, and influence policy makers and providers. So whether it's to feel connected to fellow parents or find out how we can support your organisation to work with families better, contact us through our website, bornattherighttime.com today. So this week, instead of having an interview of somebody, there are lots of interviews coming up, which is very exciting. Ladies, I thought we could have a conversation about families and navigating, well, not even family, just families, but families and friends, and navigating people wanting to help and people wanting to support and, like, from an emotional point of view, people are invested in our lives and they really care and they want to do things, but lots of them don't know how to directly help. They certainly can't help our young person who has disabilities because it's kind of beyond them or whatever. So all of our situations, it's really tricky, isn't it? Because you're like, I don't think any of my family are going to listen. My parents, maybe. Actually, my sister listens. Shout out, Anna. actually, so does Sarah. Let's be fair. I do have a lot of siblings. But yeah, how do you navigate keeping people, even not even the help, but how do you navigate keeping people included and sharing your news without, like, the introduction of the podcast, which is either the I'm fine Sarah version or the it's shit Lucy version? Do you know what I mean? How do you navigate letting people into your world and enabling people to support you in a means that's realistic for them?
Oh, big question. I think this is a really difficult question, and I think it slightly links back to what Sarah was saying at the beginning about people becoming, we become tolerant to the level of stress that we have and we live under. Mm. But I think also people walking alongside us also become tolerant to the level of stress and chaos that we're living under. Mm. And I think that can completely unintentionally lead to, like, for me, I feel like this leads to somewhat of an othering sometimes. For example, a while ago when Brecken was getting all his diagnoses and, like, right at the beginning of the journey, but we'd had Brecken for a while and it was quite stressful, and, you know, our friends and family were understanding of what we were going through because I would share quite often. One of my friends, her dog died, and it was the worst thing in the possibly that could ever happen in her whole life. And I totally respect that and I totally get that. And that for her was really, that was a big thing. It was stressful. It was the worst thing that's ever happened in her life. The same friend had 2 weeks before told me that I needed to stop going on about Brecken and I needed to just accept the fact that it's just going to be difficult for us. And, you know, there's probably nothing wrong anyway. And, you know, all of that kind of stuff. And the disconnect for me was really, really obvious. So, like, okay, you're telling me that my child, who I'm really struggling with, who is my third child, it's not like I don't know what I'm doing at this point, who is having lots of issues, we're, you know, in and out of hospital, we've got a million professionals involved. You're telling me that I just need to suck that up and, you know, it is what it is, et cetera, et cetera. And then when something happens to you that is really difficult, the whole world stops turning. Mm-hmm. And that was a really highlighted kind of example of this is where you think that my life, and because I have this set of cards, my life is, I should be able to manage more easily, and it's just the deal for me, whereas it isn't the deal for you. And so different bars get applied. I don't know if I've explained that very well, but yeah, like what's okay for you would never be okay for me. But because you've got that and you live with it, that's just how it is for you.
Because you're a different breed somehow.
Yeah.
I remember so clearly, I think that you've hit the nail, well, you've hit one of the many nails. Because of work, I have worked with families with children with complex disability for a long, long time and was supporting those families prior to Bea's diagnosis. And I had genuinely, even though, and I can read stuff I wrote at that time, but I genuinely didn't think that it would ever, ever, ever be something that I would experience, because there was a difference between, like, it was almost as if, like, that's the life you live and that was the life you were always going to live, because that's where you are and this is where I am over here. And then I remember being on one of the dream flight things up to Lapland. Obviously, that was a good idea to take a desperately, desperately ill child to bloody Lapland. And I remember sitting, she was next to me on the flight. We were about 6 weeks into this whole shenanigans. And I remember looking around and thinking, I'm one of those families. I'm one of those mums. And just having it like a massive realization that even though I thought that I was somebody who had a little bit of an inkling into what it was like, I hadn't got a clue.
Yeah,
I'd got absolutely no clue, and I didn't appreciate the very, very fine line that there is between our families and other people's families with typical kids. You know, how it can change.
Thought it was a chasm.
Just
it was a chasm, but it was just a heartbeat.
Yeah, turned out just over there.
And so presumably with that, we can have the grace that actually we can't expect people to know what they don't know.
No, exactly. We
can't. So I certainly feel like one of the shifts in my brain whenever I was, that got me out of my ragey, why don't people understand? Why doesn't everybody just get it? And how come they can't see how different it is or how hard it is or blah, blah, blah. I think one of the things that changed that was the memories and reconciling the fact that I didn't get it before, despite my nursing training, despite having friends, despite whatever that had touched on lives of people with disabilities, that I absolutely did not know. And if I didn't know, how can I expect anybody else to know? And so I think when I'm in that sensible headspace, then that's my thoughts. My thoughts are actually, I can't expect you to know. But then that leaves us, doesn't it, in this place of needing to be really clear to people about how they can be helpful, and that can feel like another thing on the to-do list, can't it?
Yeah, and that's where that's my default setting is I'll do it myself.
Yeah, mine too.
Fine, I'll do it myself. I think as well, because B is now not living at home, I am recognising that the stress bucket stuff, and how if you just have one more drop in it, it's going to overflow and there's going to be a big
like
scene.
Like our sinks,
you
know? And our baths.
Like your sink, there's going to be a gipping, gagging thing is going to happen.
Because everything that's been sitting in there, festering and rotting for the last 21 years of your child's life.
It's a great analogy.
It's going to come up. But if you, and I am trying so hard. Well, it's just been a bit of a revelation, really, because we are now a term and a half in to that experience of her being away. I'd say the first term was spent just worrying that she was not going to be okay. I saw her on Saturday and she's just blossoming. She's doing so well. So I can be more gracious. Yeah. Because actually, it's less to do with other people and it's more to do with me. Oh. It's that. I know. Shit, isn't it?
Oh, why can't it just be about everyone else fixing things not me doing the internal work? I'm sorting my own head and heart out.
Yeah, I can kind of relate to what you said about, you know, I'm not one of those families, and then suddenly realizing I am one of those families. In that, I used to work in a school as a TA with the behavioral kids, the kids that had, you know, now we would say SEMH needs. Back then, it was emotional behavioral difficulties, and I always looked across at my colleagues who were TAs working with SEN, typical SEN children, and were like, I could never do that. I could absolutely never do that. Fair play to you. Give me the tricky teenagers every day. And then when Brecken came along, it was like the universe went, okay. That happens a lot in my life.
But the universe was like, goes,
I will give you what you can't do. And then I had a Brecken, and then I realised, I'm now one of those people, one of those. And I think the positive of it is you don't know what you don't know, but you don't know what you can do until you're in that situation. Because I think all of us, to be fair to us, it's fucking difficult, but also all of us have gone, okay, this is our lot and this is what we have to deal with. And we've done way more than we ever would have imagined we could possibly do before we were presented with that situation. So, yeah.
And Lucy, do you ever think to yourself, I'm only going to get given what I can handle?
Okay, there's one top tip for any listeners who have friends who are going through tricky times or difficult circumstances.
Were you not chosen?
Never fucking say God only gives you, or the universe only gives you, insert appropriate deity of your choice or not. Will only ever give you what you can handle, because that is bullshit. So yeah, there's one myth 101 cleared up. Don't ever say that to anybody.
Special parents.
Yeah, special parents have special children.
I've spoken to parents who really like that. I don't know that they listen to the podcast, but they do. But I've spoken to more parents who would rather someone get hit over the head by a wet fish who said that.
Yeah, exactly.
It's just whatever gets you through the day.
Absolutely. Yeah, whatever works for you, exactly.
So before we finish this little bit, anybody got any FTFs or STPSs? talk about jargon central. So do we have an FTF to finish this section?
Yeah, I have an FTF.
Go for it.
And my fuck that feature is... Basically, this is a shout out to my children who piss me off in the extreme in this regard.
I love that you think that they listen to you.
Yeah. They probably don't. That's probably true. But they leave like one single sheet of toilet roll on the toilet roll so that they don't have to change it because they didn't technically finish the toilet roll. This happens every time. I would honestly rather them just leave the bare toilet roll inside. But no, they leave one sheet so they can technically say, well, it wasn't me that finished it. But obviously I can't wipe my bum with one single piece of toilet roll. It's very annoying. So yeah, fuck that.
I remember a couple of years ago, Sarah, one of your most popular posts on LinkedIn for ages was...
Oh, I know. It was bizarre.
Did it involve toilet roll?
I spent decades self-promoting on LinkedIn. Nobody gives a shit where I'm working or what I'm doing. And honestly, you know what bullshit it is on that whole thing. And I just put a thing up asking whether anybody knew of any courses in toilet roll management.
It could be online.
Could be online, could be face-to-face, I don't mind. But just, and a photograph of about 8 empty toilet rolls. So I thought, I'm leaving them. I'm just going to leave them and see how long it takes for some other bastard in my house to pick them up. But about 8 of them. So it was just a photograph. I was asking for, if anyone knew of any courses, that was my most popular...
By a million miles.
By thousands of percent.
Oh, that's amazing.
So no one actually cares what Sarah does, but so they care about the toilet antics. Oh.
Yeah. Did you actually find any courses in toilet roll management? I think my children could go on some.
None.
That's a shame.
Not a single one.
So here
one.
We go, people. If you have some toilet roll management courses, then do write into the podcast, twupodcast@gmail.com. We would love to hear of your toilet management courses. And maybe we could sponsor some young people around the country who need to invest in such courses. Cool. And to end the show, let's listen to one of our lovely listeners, Anna.
So being Sarah's sister, I have listened to the Skies Were Under podcast since the very beginning. And I thought that as an auntie of someone with very complex needs, and obviously with being very close to Sarah, I thought that I was pretty kind of clued up as to kind of the sort of experiences that people were going through. But I have to admit, the Skies Were Under has massively opened my eyes up to things that even I thought I was aware of, and I clearly sort of wasn't. It's an inspiring podcast, even for people who think they have an experience. It's just been absolutely amazing to listen to, and I'm very excited for season 3. So keep up the good work, guys. Bye.
Oh, bless her.
Oh, that's lovely.
Isn't she adorable?
She is adorable. Isn't she? I love her to pieces.
And we also got a fantastic Facebook message that said, from Helen. Helen on Facebook said, "I can't tell you how helpful your book, The Skies Are Under, and podcast have been. I'm still early on my journey of parenting a child with severe learning disabilities and very much in the emotional maelstrom. Hearing from you and other parents that are a bit further down the road and how together they are has helped me through." So,
oh, Helen, I love that you think that.
I was just going to say, is she listening to the right podcast?
Oh, Helen, do you know what? We have got your back, though. Yeah. We will always be here, kind of. You know the Billy Connolly sketch where he talks about so-and-so that falls out the door and he walks like someone that's his mum's pushed him out the door. And so he's like slightly off balance and sort of running. That's how I imagine all of us. We're all going in the same direction as you, Helen.
It's all good.
We'll kind of tag along with us.
We got you. And we at least learn to obviously appear together. So that's something to look forward to. But hopefully you can tell from underneath the surface that we're not quite as together. But that's amazing. Thank you, Helen. And please do continue to write into the podcast. Tell us something you want us to celebrate. We have got pompons at the ready. Something, an FTF or an STPS you want to share, you can email us at twupodcast@gmail.com. Well, ladies, this is the last episode before we have a little Easter break. So
lovely.
It will be going to eat chocolate.
Has anyone's got some really good vegan Easter egg suggestions? I'm putting my veganism out there again, which Rachel loves. Absolutely loves.
I know. How will you know that someone's a vegan? They will tell you
multiple times. No, but seriously, if anyone's got any exciting chocolate egg suggestions, I would be happy to hear them, because it's always a struggle.
I think you can make them from... Yeah, I think you can make them from, you know, when you get a tin of chickpeas, water.
It's called aquafaba, if you don't know, and actually it's really good for you, and actually it makes meringues. So, but yes, all right. I'll try and make a fucking Easter egg out of it.
Maybe try some other bean and drain the water from that and whisk it and see what happens.
You lot me.
All right. Love you, ladies. See you later. Bye.
See ya. Bye.
Skies Were Under podcast is a Born at the Right Time production, with thanks to audio engineer Tom Whitehead, to our guests for sharing their stories, expertise and very precious time. A special thanks goes to the extravagant sponsors of the podcast. We'd love it if you could review, rate and share the podcast with fellow parents and practitioners. You can also join in the conversation by sending in your stories, comments, questions and reasons to celebrate to twupodcast@gmail.com. Or follow us on Instagram at Born at Right Time. We love you joining us for the ride as we hurtle along this off-piste version of parenting. It's so much better when we do it together. Whatever skies we're under.